Week 13, Wednesday Readings. Lord, open our lips, and we shall praise your name. Let us adore the Lord, for it is he who made us. Come, ring out our joy to the Lord, hail the God who saves us. Let us come before him giving thanks, with songs let us hail the Lord. A mighty God is the Lord, a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his. To him belongs the sea, for he made it, and the dry land shaped by his hands. Come in, let us bow and bend low, let us kneel before the God who made us. For he is our God, and we, the people who belong to his pasture, the flock that is led by his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Harden not your hearts as at Meribah, as on that day at Massah in the desert, when your fathers put me to the test, when they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was wearied of these people, and I said, their hearts are astray, these people do not know my ways. Then I took an oath in my anger, never shall they enter my rest. And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let us adore the Lord, for it is he who made us. Bright as fire in darkness, sharper than a sword, lives throughout the ages God's eternal word. Father, Son, and Spirit, Trinity of might, compassed in your glory, give the world your light. I love you, Lord, my strength. Psalm 17. I love you, Lord, my strength, my rock, my fortress, my saviour. My God is the rock where I take refuge, my shield, my mighty help, my stronghold. The Lord is worthy of all praise. When I call, I am saved from my foes. The waves of death rose about me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the snares of the grave entangled me, the traps of death confronted me. In my anguish I called to the Lord, I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice, my cry came to his ears. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord saved me because he loved me. Psalm 17 continued. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the mountains were shaken to their base, they reeled at his terrible anger, smoke came forth from his nostrils, and scorching fire from his mouth. Coals were set ablaze by its heat, he lowered the heavens and came down, a black cloud under his feet. He came enthroned on the cherubim, he flew on the wings of the wind. He made the darkness his covering, the dark waters of the clouds his tent. A brightness shone out before him with hailstones and flashes of fire. The Lord thundered in the heavens, the Most High let his voice be heard. He shot his arrows, scattered the foe, flashed his lightnings and put them to flight. The bed of the ocean was revealed, the foundations of the world laid bare, at the thunder of your threat, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your anger. From on high he reached down and seized me, he drew me forth from the mighty waters, he snatched me from my powerful foe, from my enemies whose strength I could not match. They assailed me in the day of my misfortune, but the Lord was my support. He brought me forth into freedom. He saved me because he loved me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord saved me because he loved me. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God who lightens my darkness. Psalm 17 continued. He rewarded me because I was just, repaid me for my hands were clean, for I have kept the way of the Lord, and have not fallen away from my God. For his judgments are all before me, I have never neglected his commands, I have always been upright before him, I have kept myself from guilt. He repaid me because I was just, and my hands were clean in his eyes. You are loving with those who love you. You show yourself perfect with the perfect. With the sincere you show yourself sincere. With the cunning you outdo in cunning. For you save a humble people, but humble the eyes that are proud. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. With you I can break through any barrier. With my God I can scale any wall. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You, O Lord, are my lamp, my God, who lightens my darkness. All wondered at these gracious words. They marvelled at what the Lord was saying. A reading from the second book of Samuel. Now Saul's son had two men who were captains of raiding bands. The name of the one was Baana, and the name of the other Rechab, sons of Rimmon, a man of Benjamin, from Beeroth. For Beeroth also is reckoned to Benjamin. The Beerothites fled to Gittim, and have been sojourners there to this day. Jonathan, the son of Saul, had a son who was crippled in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And as she fell in her haste, he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Now the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, Rechab and Baana, set out, and about the heat of the day they came to the house of Ishbosheth, as he was taking his noonday rest. And behold, the doorkeeper of the house had been cleaning wheat, but she grew drowsy and slept. So Rechab and Baana, his brother, slipped in. When they came into the house, as he lay on his bed in his bedchamber, they smote him, and slew him, and beheaded him. They took his head, and went by the way of Arabah all night, and brought the head of Ishbosheth to David at Hebron. And they said to the king, "Here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. The Lord has avenged my lord the king this day on Saul and on his offspring." But David answered Rechab and Baana his brother, the sons of Rimmon the Beerothite, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life out of every adversity when he told me, 'Behold, Saul is dead,' and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and slew him at Ziglag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have slain a righteous man in his own house, upon his bed, shall I not now require his blood at your hand, and destroy you from the earth?" And David commanded his young men, and they killed them, and cut off their hands and feet, and hanged them beside the pool at Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth, and buried it in the tomb of Abner at Hebron. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron, and said, "Behold, we are your bone and flesh. In times past, when Saul was king over us, it was you that led out and brought in Israel. And the Lord said to you, 'You shall be shepherd of my people Israel, and you shall be prince over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king of Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and at Jerusalem he ruled over all Israel and Judah 33 years. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who said to David, "You will not come in here, but the blind and the lame will ward you off," thinking, "David cannot come in here." Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Sion, that is, the city of David. A responsory from Psalm 2. They arise, the kings of the earth, princes plot against the Lord and his anointed. But the Lord himself has decreed, "It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain." Why this tumult among the nations, among people this useless murmuring? But the Lord himself has decreed, "It is I who have set up my king on Zion, my holy mountain." A reading from the Way of Perfection of St. Teresa, chapter 30. Is there anyone, however ill-mannered, who would not consider beforehand how to address a person of high rank of whom it was necessary to ask a favour? Would not the one be careful to gratify him, to avoid offending him, and to think over what one meant to petition for, and what use could be made of it? Especially if the request were an important one, such as the good Jesus tells us to beg for. I think this point deserves serious consideration. Could you not, O my Lord, have included everything in one phrase, saying, "Give us, Father, what we need"? For, as God knows all things, further words seem needless. O eternal wisdom, this alone would have sufficed between you and your Father. Thus did you address him in the garden. You showed him your will and your dread, and submitted yourself to his will. But you know, O my God, that we are not so resigned as you were to the will of your Father. There was need to name each thing we pray for, that we might decide whether it was what we wanted, and otherwise not to ask it of you. For being what we are, unless what we want is given to us, as we have free will, we would not accept it as a gift of God, though it might be best for us, since unless we see the money in our hand, we never think we are rich. The good Jesus bids us say these words, which ask that this kingdom may come in us. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come in us. How great is the wisdom of our Master! It is well that we should all learn what we ask for when praying for this kingdom. His Majesty saw that unless he enabled us to do so, by giving us his kingdom here on earth, our natural defects would render us unfit either to hallow, praise, magnify, glorify, or extol the holy name of the Eternal Father. Therefore, the good Jesus placed the two petitions close together. I will tell you what I understand about the matter, so that you may realize for what you are praying, how important it is to ask for it, and how we should strive to please him who can bestow it. Among the many other joys of the kingdom of heaven, the principle appears to me to consist in a disregard of all earthly things, and a peace and beatitude which rejoice and delight in the bliss of one's companions. The soul dwells in perfect peace, and feels supreme satisfaction at seeing that all those around it honour and praise God, and bless his name, and at knowing that they can never offend him. In heaven, everyone loves him. The soul cares for nothing but loving him. It cannot cease to do so, because it knows him as he is. If only we knew him, we should love him in the same way in this world. and although not so constantly and so perfectly as in heaven, yet very differently from what we do now. Responsory. He who can give good things to his children urges us to ask, to seek, and to knock. The more loyal our faith, the stronger our hope, and the more ardent our desire, so much the more shall we receive. In this matter of prayer, more is obtained by sighs than by speech, more by tears than by words. The more loyal our faith, the stronger our hope, and the more ardent our desire, so much the more shall we receive. Let us pray. Lord God, since by the adoption of grace you have made us children of the light, do not let false doctrine darken our minds, but grant that your light may shine within us, and we may always live in the brightness of truth. We make our prayer through Christ our Lord. Let us praise the Lord. Thanks be to God.